Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
From a Courtyard Marriott in Norwood, Massachusetts, Jaguars Monday makes its season premiere. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco will be with us starting next week. He did not make the trip to Foxborough in New England this week. So in to start the season with us, Jeff Lagerman, Jaguars Answer. What's up, guys? How we doing here?
Oh, well, I broke my headset already.
You're off to a rousing start on Monday night.
My head's too big for these headsets. I mean, come on, PK. We need better headsets here. So, besides that, good. It was a fun day. A lot to talk about.
No doubt.
I'll tell you one thing. I got a good understanding why the Patriots are one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yep, and he wears number 12.
Yes, sir.
Pretty clear right away. We'll get to today's practice. We'll get into the Jaguars part of the practice today, too, what Blake Bortles did on the practice field today. We watched a little of the Jags offensive line today in one-on-ones against the Patriots. We'll get into that. Defense, we'll take your questions on social media. We're on Facebook Live tonight on the Jaguars Facebook page, so submit some questions. And in lieu of phone calls tonight, which Tony loves.
We're not doing phone calls.
We're going to take social media questions tonight.
Are we doing my Twitter idea?
We might do that, but we're going to do the Facebook Live
Twitter
questions tonight.
Twitter question
so
of the
this,
show?
That's a Thursday night thing. It could be a Monday night thing, too,
I
guess.
I think it needs to be an everyday thing.
An everyday thing.
Yeah, you know, we could
layer it in. That would be too much of you every day.
Is that too much?
Yeah.
Take is good enough on Mondays and Thursdays. I don't know if we needed five more days a week. No offense, Tony. We'll get to questions. That's my point of saying that. Coming up, so submit those on Facebook Live or, you know, at Tony Baselli, at JP Shadrick, at Logs.
At JP Shadrick.
I'll read Logs for him. Let's start off today, though, guys. With the joint practice, the first day in Foxborough, first off, the travel yesterday to get in, got in last night after a practice back home, arrived at the hotels around 9 o'clock or so, and then we got over there this morning about an hour and 15 minutes before practice started, and the place is jammed. I mean, they announced over 15,000 last week, and it had to be more than that today.
I think you need to go back one step because, you know, when you come up here to New England, Foxborough, wherever you want to call it, Boston, I mean, what was your first reaction when we woke up and you walked out the door?
It's a little chilly today.
I needed a coat.
Oh my gosh.
I had the heat on last night.
I mean,
no, you did not.
I did in the room.
Absolutely.
100%.
Perfect weather. I mean, for a practice with another team or any type of training camp practice, these days as a player, I mean, the Patriots players have no idea how good they've got it. Now, the Jaguars players, I guarantee you, certainly were accepting and graceful about having a day like today because, I mean, it was gorgeous. Wake up this morning, I think it was 59. You know, Foxborough, Boston was probably a little bit warmer near the water, but about 59 degrees at first light this morning. And once practice got started, it was overcast. I mean, absolutely perfect day. And you're right, JP. I don't know if I've ever been to any training camp practice or as a player or as an analyst to where I've seen that many people. But then again, I've never been to a defending Super Bowl champions training camp practice the following year.
Are you saying the Patriots players don't know what they have because of the weather or because they have number 12 on their team?
Well, I think they understand
the
number 12.
There's so many people there?
They are number 12.
Yeah. I mean, they're not only watching from the stands, but they're up on the ramps of the stadium.
Tony, you need to count the practice fields that the Patriots have. There's two of them. And they sit, I don't know which direction, but outside the stadium. And it's kind of catty quarter. It's not right butted up against the stadium, so it's kind of offset a little bit. And so there's essentially two sides of these practice fields that are available to the public. Some of them have stands. The length of the football fields has the stands. And then running along the back of the end zones of the two fields is kind of general seating up on the hill. And then there's some sponsor areas and such. Well, farther away were the ramps where people walk up the stadium to get into – you know, Gillette Stadium, there's probably a series of, four different ramps that are going up? Mm-hmm. And it was elbows to elbows, to not use the other phrase that I could use there, but it was elbow to elbow all the way across the railing on every single level from the beginning to the end of the ramps. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Tony's right. How many more chances is anybody going to have to be able to watch the greatest player of all time? Which I believe that Tom Brady
just
is
turned 40 years old.
Are we sure he's 40?
He doesn't look like it
at all.
He's not 40. There's no way.
He doesn't look it.
I mean, the guy, I know we'll get into all this. Yeah. We'll get into it right now. Might as well. He practiced, and then everyone else is done. And for the next 20 to 30 minutes,
yeah, we sat there and
we're just watching as the oldest guy on either team.
Older than most of the coaches
the best
on
player,
the Patriots staff.
The best player on both teams. The guy who's going to go down in history is one of the greatest players ever. Everyone else is off the field talking or in the locker room. And he's in the back by himself with a couple strength coaches working on drills and extra conditioning for 20 to 30 minutes. And I just look at the logs, and we both shake our heads and basically at the same time said, that's why he's the greatest ever. It's very impressive. Very, very impressive.
I was impressed at how calm and collected and focused the Patriots team is during practice. There's no goofing off on the sideline or waiting on one-on-ones to happen. Everybody's locked into what's going on in that drill, in that moment. If you're not, you're going to get caught by Belichick and the staff. That's how fast they move practice.
Well, one thing I will say about their practice, you're right, they still have fun. You know, I don't want you to kind of misrepresent. They still have some fun when it's proper.
Right.
But, you know, Bill Belichick, his football teams are known for having kind of a no-nonsense approach because that's how he is. I mean, after a watch one of his press conferences,
yep.
You know, and you'll understand how no-nonsense he can be.
But in fairness, JP, I don't want – the way you said that, it's almost like the Jaguars aren't.
That's not what I meant.
I know, no. But I think Doug has done a very good job this camp of being very efficient and working hard and guys moving around from drill to drill. So I didn't sense that big a difference between the two that way. I think it's a couple things. One, it's the Patriots. And so there's something in all of us.
There's an aura.
There's an aura. Even we've been around the game. It's like, this is the defending champs. And so you watch them, and so you're looking and trying to figure out what makes them different. And so you start maybe projecting a little bit. Well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And there is a professionalism about them. They're very efficient in what they do. And to me, I think it's Belichick, but I also think it's Brady. When the greatest player on your team
totally
is
agree.
Working harder than anybody else.
And he's vocal, too. Out
and there's
there,
nobody is going to get out of line. Yep. Because forget about Belichick having to say something, which he will, obviously. Tom Brady is going – there's a presence, and he is vocal. So I think – the Jaguars have done a good job at camp this year, all year, and been very efficient in their practice and very professional. They've worked very hard. We talked about the padded practices and everything else. It's just these guys are the best. And I said it this morning on 1010 that they have one of the best owners in all sports. They have a great GM and head coach. One of the greatest ever, at least as a head coach, but he's also the GM and does a good job there. And they have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So the three key positions in your organization are at the highest level. Well, That's why they're so successful.
And I think there's probably some debate, is he the greatest GM ever? Because, you know, when you have
– he builds the team.
He does, but when you have number 12, which makes everybody around him so much better – I think it certainly makes you look to be a GM because, you know, there's been a lot of people that have gone and looked at pick after pick of Bill Belichick, and he's not without flaws as a general manager.
Oh, but no, who is?
But when you have a number 12.
It covers up a lot. You know,
arguably, or is the greatest of all time, it masks all the problems that you have.
Oh, but he's done some good things. I mean, he gets rid of a guy last year at the beginning of the year, and they thought it was his best defensive player in Jamie Collins, and they end up being better without him. The year before he got rid of Chandler Jones, and their number one sack guy.
Let me ask you this, though.
Their defensive statistics still went up.
Let me ask you.
They didn't get anything for him.
after watching the Patriots pass rush today.
Right now they need both those guys.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens this year.
Yeah. It helps when you can have the greatest comeback ever, maybe in all of pro football, in a Super Bowl because of number 12.
It does help.
It does. So. We'll get into all the pass rush and the Jags O-line against that coming up. The practices don't just make themselves. These are prepared really months out what they're going to do. And then as the weeks come along, the coaches talk again to really fine-tune some things. So there was no hesitation today between teams and what was happening. Belichick and Marone are on the same page, and that's pretty clear to see.
Totally on the same page, and I'm sure that they have had communication going all the way back, you know, to the springtime when they started talking about this. So, but from beginning to end of practice, how scripted it was, I mean, it was on point. They didn't waste any time. And you could see constant communication throughout the practice between Doug Marone and Bill Belichick. So, I mean, it was efficient. And you know, a lot of times when you have teams that go up against each other, it can be – it is very spirited. The intensity level goes up, and that's one of the benefits of practicing against another team. Sometimes it can be over the top, and you could have altercations and a little extracurricular. But with Bill Belichick, he's known to not tolerate that, and Doug Marone has made it known that he wasn't going to tolerate that either. You know, so you can get a very productive practice and not have any nonsense occur. So it was a very efficient practice as far as how it was run and how it was operated and how the players went to work and didn't have any – you didn't see a lot of jawing back and forth. No. In fact,
I
probably –
saw one little instance on a special teams, but that took – it was 2 seconds and done.
Wouldn't you say that it was probably less verbal jawing in a practice, Tony, in today's practice than you would see in a normal Jaguars practice?
Yes, and so I think about that. And so if you're the Patriots, and that's just not, you know, the quote-unquote Patriot way, let's say. You know, that's not how they operate.
Let's say. Let's.
And, well, I mean, that's what you hear. We're not around the team enough to say one way or another what their practices are like, so I'm not going to try to guess. But then if you're the Jaguars and you're us, and you're coming up here, what are you going to say to this team?
Nothing.
They're the world champs. I mean, if I'm up here.
Let me tell you something, Tom.
I mean, even if I'm a veteran guy, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to try to beat the hell out of them. But I'm going to keep my mouth shut because they deserve my respect.
There was a moment. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just reality. It's reality.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it.
I try to
not.
Kill them, trust me. But we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
There was a moment in practice today where I thought it was a great lesson, because kind of an example of that. And it was Myrick. The seventh-round pick out of Minnesota for the Jaguars. He has a very nice play where he breaks up a pass, and he kind of did one of these poses, you know, after he broke the pass up.
Like an incomplete hands-out thing.
But it was like that, but it was kind of posing.
Okay.
It wasn't just, you know, hey.
Is he a poser, or is he posing?
Well, he was posing.
Okay.
You know, kind of doing some theatrics.
Gotcha.
Kind of a little over-the-top celebration. But he just broke a pass up. You didn't just break a pass up to win the Super Bowl.
Or win any game.
Act like you've done it. Yeah, exactly. It's practice. So it was interesting that it was like two plays later. I don't know if you remember, and I think it was either Brandon Cooks or it was 15.
Hogan
caught the long ball right over Meyer.
That was Cooks, the deep ball.
Well, but there was two of them because Hogan had one, too, in the same end zone in that corner. So it was one of the two that Meyer was covered.
Hogan had the touchdown one, yes.
So you talk about one of those moments to where, okay, young player, and you're going up against the Patriots, and you have a pass breakup, and you pose, and a couple plays later, you know, you're acting a little kind of confident, and then you get beat for a touchdown, you know. Kind of all to show you, hey, look, maybe a couple of plays before you shouldn't have been celebrating because, look, two plays later, you got smoked. You know, so that was kind of interesting to watch. And I was sitting there going, I hope he's eating a big piece of humble pie right now. Learn a little something.
Yeah, that's what this week is about for this Jaguars team to come up and face the Patriots. Plenty to get to tonight, guys. We're going to come back and get into Blake Bortles Day here in Foxborough. But coming up at Daly's Place, Future, Wednesday, August 16th. Matchbox 20 and Counting Crows, Saturday, August 19th. Mary J. Blige, Wednesday, August 23rd. A full schedule and tickets available at dailysplace.com. This is the season premiere of Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, where they are, what they've done. Like I said before, we have a great deal of respect for their coaches and their players. And, you know, it's a fact. So, I mean, I don't really think you have to talk about it enough. I think everybody knows it. I really do. I did say that, you know, there's a couple of guys that were with me, you know, in Buffalo. I said, hey, can you believe we're going up there to practice, you know? But again, I'm thankful to Coach Belichick for giving us this opportunity because, You know, at the end of the day, we're just trying to get our football team better, and this is definitely going to help us.
There you have it, head coach Doug Marrone today in Foxborough after the first joint practice between the world champion Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We welcome you back to Jaguars Monday, the season premiere. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco will be with us next week. And now sitting in, the play-by-play voice of the Jags, Frank Frangie. What's up, man?
That was fun today. Everywhere, and it was I thought it was really cool. And watching, we watched Babe Ruth today. Watch Michael
Jordan.
That was Jordan, awesome. I'm with you on the Jordan Ruth? Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I think you watched Tiger Woods today.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with that. Babe Ruth.
He played baseball. I'll go slow, okay?
I know that, but Babe Ruth, really?
Best player of all time. Did you not know that?
Well, yeah, but it's different from this standpoint. Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. I'm not going to call Tom Brady the best football player of all time because I can name guys. Lawrence Taylor, by the way.
Yeah. Jerry Rice. Jim Brown. I got it, but
remember Walter Payton, Jim Brown.
But he's the best. He's the best quarterback. Of all time. It by far the most publicized position in sports.
That's fine.
So I'm going to go with Babe Ruth. Okay, that's where I'm going to be. Okay,
He is. He is of this era. You know, Michael. I mean, for football, Michael Jordan.
Right.
Tiger Woods. I mean, he is Derek Jeter. I mean, he's that type of iconic player. Football is just so different because
it is.
You know, baseball, you can have one greatest player because pretty much all nine positions are the same.
They do in basketball the same. They all do the same thing. But he's a great player.
Oh,
just watching him work,
it's unreal.
Just being able to watch Tom Brady work, it was pretty amazing. I mean, for me, it really was. And the pace with which they work, Tony, the pace with which they go through drills, it was pretty cool.
The one that stood out to me today, guys, was the 55-yard bomb over the top down to the 5. The Jaguars are offside.
He's 42, by the way. You know he's 40.
Yeah. Who, Brady? Yes.
Yeah, he's 40. That ball. He's 40.
Deep ball. Perfect. Right on the money. Jags are offside. Belichick says, no, we're going to take the penalty. Go back. Next play, 50-yard touchdown into the end zone.
That was a little arrogant. I thought it was arrogant.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
By the way.
I might have gone and fought him.
You talked about he was 40. We talked about this on our show. Is he in his prime? Well, yes. He's just got a really long prime. It's like one of the longest primes ever, isn't it? I mean, he's got a really long prime. The guy goes forever. It was really
good. They're very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. Everything they do, the way they go about it, and Jeff and I were talking, and Tony, obviously you guys have been through 1,000 football practices. But for us, we've seen the Jaguars. You know, that's who we've seen practice. I've seen a lot of college practices, but I haven't seen a lot of teams NFL practices.
Because you said it and JP said it. You both said that you thought the crispness with that they went through drills and everything was remarkably different and efficient and everything else like that. I did not see that as much because I've been very impressed with how Doug has conducted training camp and how very efficient and workmanlike and everything they've gone through it this year. That's not what stood out to me. And I wonder, is part of that you think because they're the Patriots and we put a little bit more on it and it's Tom Brady and Belichick and those guys? Now, what stood out once we got in team was number 12 and the precision that he plays the game with.
Yeah, it's a good question. Maybe before we ever go out there, there's probably some truth to that.
But there's also not as much noise here. Yeah. They don't have to, yell to run to tell these guys to get over here and do this now.
JP, when I watched.
That's a good point. That is a very good point.
They're an old veteran team.
Very good point. I don't know that I saw as an appreciable difference when the defense was out there or when special teams. The special teams, to me, to my naked eye, an untrained eye, looked about the same. Special teams looked about the same. Defense looked about the same. It's just the drills he was involved in.
Because he's Tom Brady.
And maybe I've got that fixed in before, but, I mean, the ball never hits the ground. He goes, and then Garoppolo goes, and then Brissett goes, and then the receivers all know him.
Frank, here's the thing. Because we were all sitting there, and I've been around Tom from the sense of doing sideline games and being up close to him and doing interviews with him. But even you sit there and watch. I mean, here's the greatest, to your analogy, it's like watching Michael Jordan practice.
Right.
And so you're watching him, and so we're sitting there thinking, this is impressive. Well, you got to remember, he had a bunch of young guys behind him. They're scared to death of him.
Yeah, I bet.
And I get it. Here's the greatest of all time.
Right.
If he's doing it like this, I'm doing it like
that's
this.
Right.
And I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm going to do what he does.
Well, you might have just explained why I think I saw what I saw. That's the best explanation
because
of all.
They're all thinking
if he
like
scratches his head, they're going to scratch their head. That's exactly right. And that's right. But for whatever reason, it just boom, 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 boom. I told you this earlier. I've been around baseball a long time, right? Not football, all the football drills you guys go through. They threw a hitch today, that one of those drills, over. It was like an 8-yard hitch, over and over and over and over and over. And I haven't seen that many practices for different teams over and over. I thought, it's an 8-yard hitch. Wow. And they did it over and over. And baseball, what's the best?
Do it over and over.
Over and over and over. Sure. Are you kidding me?
That's right.
And what was good about that, and I heard Jeff mention on the field, I noticed it, is every drill they are doing, even though it's a simple hitch, is with a purpose. So they have a guy hitting him with the bag in the back. They have a guy distracting them. They're hitting the ball when they're running through bags, trying to ball security. So it's very purposeful in everything they're doing. And it's there's a reason they're the best team. I mean, they do the little things right. And that's what so often, I think, in all of sports and life, we miss. We so much get caught up in these great teams or great organizations or whatever it is, and they say, well, they do this and they do that and they got this piece and look at how great and creative they are. That's not why they're great. They're great because they do the little things really, really well and better than anybody else.
And to do that, you got to work it and work
repetition.
It and work it and work it. Repetition. That's what probably stuck out for me.
I just got a tweet. We had the ask for questions Facebook Live. We'll get to questions coming up.
Question of the day?
Yeah, but I also have the JP Shatter question here. Yeah. It said, frothing at the mouth. Is this Jaguars Monday or Patriots Monday?
Well, it's Jaguars Monday because we're playing the Patriots.
So the question I have now is,
I'm making,
what stood out with the Jaguars today? If you had to pick one thing, Tony, what was the best thing you saw today? Marquise Lee? Yeah.
Well, the best thing I saw, I think Ngakoue is very impressive. I thought Marquise Lee is dynamic on the field, and they couldn't cover him in one-on-one. To me, I thought it was the case last year was the best receiver on this team, production-wise, the second half of the season, and watching him so far, he's the receiver that scares me more than – if I'm a defense, scares me more than anything. His cuts, his suddenness, his catching of the ball – that was impressive. I think Brandon Linder impressed me. Watching him work was very impressive. It's been like that for a while. A.J. Boye, continues. I mean, so as you watched, I thought the competition, there were some really disappointing things as well that we can get into a little bit later. But the competition, if you looked at the top Jaguar players competing against some of those top New England players, I thought it was very even. I mean, I thought it was really great competition. I mean, if you looked at these two teams, the biggest difference was one thing, and that's 12. I mean, I didn't watch that. I'll say this. Jeff and I sat there. We watched that Patriots defense, and there wasn't one guy on that defense that scared me from a front seven, from a defensive line. And I said this facetiously, obviously, because I couldn't do it. But in my mind, a lot of times I'm getting older now. I mean, 10 years ago, I thought I could still go play. I'm getting old enough now to realize that I don't want to do that.
He comes up to me today. He's like, I could block that guy.
I watch some of these guys. I think I'd go out there and block some
one time. I could block that
now,
guy.
I get hurt, and I'd be in the hospital right
you
now.
You need another surgery.
There's
more titanium in that body already.
And I'm not being disrespectful to the Patriots because their pedigree speaks for itself. But I think if you ask their coaches, now they're not going to tell us, or you ask people watching them, there's not one guy. They play well as a collective unit, really well as a collective unit, but it's not like Dont'a Hightower wasn't even out there. I think he's their best front seven guy. And you got Flowers, who's a decent pass rusher, not great. But outside, there's not one guy on this defense you're like, oh, my gosh, we have to block him in their front seven. Now, Gilmore and Butler are very good corners. And so that's why you looked at these two teams. The main thing was, which stood out, and that's why we've been talking about it, and I'm sorry if they don't like the fact the conversation the first two segments. There's other choices on the radio station you can go to if you don't like it. But, it would be disrespectful, in my opinion, watching that practice, just like if I was going to, a Chicago Bulls practice back in the day, or if I was as old as you, Frank, watching Babe Ruth, you'd be remiss not to mention watching one of the greatest ever play their position.
Well, and it's also something different. It's something that we see the Jaguars every day, so that's why we pointed that out.
But talent-wise, back and forth, yeah. If you looked at the talents,
right.
I mean, Amendola's a specialist. He's the best receiver on the field, but there's a lot of positions where the Jaguars are better than the Patriots man for man.
To your question, JP, I thought Marquise Lee was the best guy on the field today for Jacksonville. I thought he looked
especially in seven on seven.
I thought he jumped off the page today.
Yeah.
I did think Ngakoue. Last year when they played the Bucs, I thought, wow, that pass rush that looks so good doesn't look so good when another team came in. Dotson, I thought, kind of just swallowed Fowler. Today, the pass rush looked as good. Now, I know Solder wasn't out there, but the pass rush looked as good.
By who, though?
Yeah. Ngakoue.
Yeah.
But I thought at times Fowler had a little push. I thought, and the inside guys weren't there, but I thought that looked different.
Ngakoue stood out.
I thought Chris Ivory looked good two or three times. I
thought Fournette had some great runs. 9-7 for the Jaguars, 9-7. We can get into detail of this, but 9-7, I thought, was a win for that Jaguars offense.
Number of things
I thought. Outstanding.
I will say that the Patriots defensive line looked okay in goal line today
when
the Jags were 0-4.
That was the worst part of the day.
That was embarrassing.
That's a tease.
As an offensive lineman, and we'll get into detail about that, and I can tell you the conversation that Doug Marrone is having with that offensive unit. That was embarrassing. If you're an offensive lineman, you're a tight end, an offensive player, that was as bad as it gets.
We'll leave it there. We'll hear from Coach Tony Boselli.
Yes, I'll give you the coach speech.
Around. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'd love to
stay
one more segment.
Logs doesn't even want
to
come.
I'll take
he can't handle the
segment.
Pressure
I'm
Monday
night.
He's only a Thursday night guy. He can't handle Monday nights.
Facebook Live, get your questions in. We'll get to those throughout the show tonight. Our debut for the season for Jaguars Monday. And check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, Facebook Live, and Jaguars Radio.
I don't know why you wouldn't do it. And I think the only downside to the whole thing is the two head coaches aren't on the same page. It can get ugly. And you get a lot of skirmishes and brawls and nothing gets done. But if the two head coaches format the thing together, they're on the same page as far as intensity, it's the best workout you're going to get. Now, the whole key for Jacksonville and New England is you're going to go in and watch. They're going to watch the film, and it'll be better intensity than they've had for the last week, different looks for the starters. And the great thing is the quarterbacks get to work without fear of getting hurt, but you're getting all new looks for these quarterbacks.
NFL Network analyst Mike Mayock in practice today at Gillette Stadium. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Frank Frangie sitting in tonight. Jeff Loggum will be back a little bit later. Pete Prisco from CBS Sports will join us next week. He did not make the trip to Foxborough. Get your questions in on Facebook Live and on social media at Tony Boselli. He's frantically checking messages.
Trying to get the question of the day. Let's go. Get it going.
J.P. Shadrick. We'll get to those coming up. We got an hour and a half left. So we got some time, Tony.
He's saying settle down.
We'll get to it. Settle down. Simmer down a little bit. So we left. Actually, you know what? This is actually a good segue to the first question of the night. How about that? Jason Lee on Facebook asking, where would you say the offensive line is at this point, and can they help out Fournette with a run game? That kind of leads us to where you were going at the goal line earlier today. The Jags 0-4 and 4 tries down around the 1. Bortles was tripped up the first down play.
Right? No, he fumbled the snap, I think.
And he got tripped. He got stepped on, too, by the way.
Yeah,
he
was I believe it was a fumbled snap.
Either way, he was on the ground. The ball was, too. You don't want that.
That's a bad first down play. It's awful.
They didn't get in after that. And you're about to tell us, Coach Boselli, what you would be saying to the offensive line.
Well, first of all, that is a drill all about one thing and one thing only. It's physicality and enforcing your will against the defense, which comes back to being physical. And as an offensive lineman, our philosophy was if you have first and goal from the 4, in 4 tries, you better score because you better be able to get 1 yard at least every time. That didn't happen. The first stat, I mean, that's inexcusable by Brandon Linder and Blake Bortles. I don't know whose fault it was, but it's inexcusable what happened there for him, snap on the ground. Play action pass, I believe, was the next one. Poorly thrown ball. It was hard to tell or if it was he was covered or he was just throwing it away. And then the last two plays, they get stuffed and don't get an inch. In fact, it was fourth and less than a yard on the half yard line. You got to score there. And Doug Marrone is an ex offensive lineman and an ex offensive line coach. That right there drove him crazy, and the only person that drove him more crazy was Tom Coughlin. Clear for that, because that was a drill that we better have won. When we did that, we practiced against the defense. If the defense shut us out, he was ticked. He wasn't happy that the defense did a good job. He was yelling at us and screaming, and it was a bad practice. And if it happened against a team we were scrimmaging, uncalled for, unacceptable, you must score. As an offensive lineman, that is embarrassing, and Doug Marrone was irate. He has every right to be irate, and he will let them have it. I don't know this for a fact. It's not like he's telling me this. I'm just telling you, as an ex-offensive lineman, which he is one, as an ex-offensive line coach, which he is one, he will let them have it tonight, in my opinion.
Let me ask you, you know more than we do, this is the team that struggled there in recent years, Tony. That's been a trouble. I mean, running back scoring touchdowns has been very problematic.
We remember that in London a couple of years ago.
Is it as simple as just getting beat up front? Is it
yes.
The other guy's more physical? I mean,
it's not like Vince Wilfork's here anymore. Right. They aren't huge.
Like, that's a great defensive line.
You know, they're not a
defensive
huge
line. Here's our rule. Score with your man. It was a thing Mike Mazur used to say. And I'm like, it sounds easier. That's a little easier said than done. But that was the deal. If you score with your man, meaning he's in the end zone, that back will get the end
zone.
The
guy behind you is in there. Yep.
And it's getting low. It's using technique, and it's digging them out. You got to dig them out. You got to just create a little crease. And now in the past, we have seen the backs have missed some holes. And so it's not always on the offensive line. But today, from my vantage point, I thought it was on the offensive line.
To the question that was asked, how do you feel about the line right now? Where the line is? Obviously, it looks like Omame's won that left guard job
now. Yeah, because Doug Marrone wanted to have his best five by the time they got here.
Well, you still got Wells and Cam Robinson rotating.
That's the one battle.
I don't think it's a battle. If I was Doug Marrone, I would put Cam Robinson in there, and I would look at him and have a very serious conversation. Stop jumping off sides and figure it out, because you're starting at left tackle for 16 games. So you better figure it out.
And is that day coming? Do you feel like that day's coming sooner rather than later?
It already came with me, so I don't know. Cam Robinson needs to figure it out, though. I think he's a fabulous athlete. I mean, big man, and I think he has a ton of potential. All of that will get your ass run out of this league if you don't get it done. And now I'm not saying he's been terrible by any means. He does some really good things out there. And so I'm not being overly critical, because he does some special things out there because of his size and athletic ability. But there's certain things that can't happen. You can't jump off sides every practice. We've seen that consistently. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten beat inside lately. And there's no reason Cam Robinson, especially now, elite pass rushers, okay, I get it. There wasn't any elite pass rushers. He is good enough right now not to get beat once if he just sets right, understands what he's trying to do, and have a game plan. And to get beat inside at least twice today that I saw the way he did, it can't happen. You're the left tackle. You're protecting the quarterback. That's your job. That's what you get paid for. And with all that said, I think he's going to be really good. And so I'm not panicked about it. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. Some things he's got to clean up, and I would put the pressure on him. Sure. I don't think there's pressure right now saying you're competing for the job. I just don't buy that. The pressure is you are a starter.
The pressure is when you have the job.
That's your job.
Deal with it.
And deal with it, and the expectation is, do you play like a starter? Linder's playing great. Cannon, Parnell. Parnell looks – was it just me, or he looked a little beat up out there today? Like, I know
– he always kind of labors a little bit. That's
yeah,
just
but not
his
like
gait,
no,
you know?
But not – I just – I'm not, because we don't get any injury information, so we're speculating like anyone else out there, any other schmoes watching practice. And I think he sat out a little bit last week one day, didn't he?
I think he's off and on some.
Yeah, 2 days.
That's a...
And so that, I mean, I wonder if he's just a little ache and pain maybe, or maybe it's just whatever. But I think he'll be fine. I'm a big Parnell fan. I think he's a good, solid right tackle. And A.J. can. He needs to play better than he did last year. He needs to keep on proving it. He looks better. So overall, I give the offensive line position wise a C plus right now. C plus, but I think it should be a B plus line this year, which is good. I mean, that means they should be in the top half of the league as far as offensive line.
Frank, I saw on social media earlier you were sitting by a creek
doing
your previous radio show. Stream.
I refer to it as
an actual stream.
A running stream.
What were you doing out there, Frank?
Doing my radio show. Live from the bench next to the stream, Tony.
You know you could. Okay.
There's a lot of daylight left. You want to get back out there.
Then I went into the woods. Okay. I said I might even do a report while I take down a 10-point. Okay, I thought about that.
Frank, okay. Let's be honest with each other. Okay, we know you're from Jacksonville. You know, and you want to play the old outdoorsman.
Right.
You don't even know what number one, you don't know how to shoot
deer.
You don't know what gun you would use. Yeah. And I'm not sure you know what 10-point stands for.
You use a rental car.
Stay with me here. That was sort of the joke. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm just making sure everyone listening.
I've shot a gun once. Okay.
And what'd you shoot at that?
A can.
Okay. Was it a 10-point can?
Okay. And it was just a can. Okay. You know, I went out with my father-in-law, God rest his soul, and my brother-in-law, shot a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. At a can.
Yeah.
They hit the can every time. I had the can in no time. I thought it was dumb, and I was done. That's kind of my shooting career, Tony.
You spent a lot of time in a deer stand there.
A lot of time. I did say 10-point. I was kind of thinking of logs when I did that. I forgot.
You know what 10-point is?
It's like how many points on the antlers?
Okay, I was making sure.
Don't come with the weak stuff here. Don't come in here with the weak stuff. We'll get some critique. Get that out of here. That's it? That's all you got?
Coming up.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Have a good call.
I'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
See you tomorrow.
I think you'll probably see you tomorrow morning.
It's not that big a place, Frank.
It's really not.
Of the Jaguars joining us, the JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. Facebook Live for questions. We'll take those questions coming up. Jeff Logman back with us shortly. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Definitely puts it up to another level. It's facing a new opponent for the first time instead of your own teammates every single day. It's just great tempo. Atmosphere picks up a little bit. The speed picks up. You got to be more alert. So it's super beneficial for the team and for myself.
Rob Gronkowski. You might have heard of the Patriots tight end. That's after practice today at Gillette Stadium, just outside of Gillette Stadium. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman back in with us. Pete Prisco will be with us next week. This is the season premiere. He did not make the trip to Foxborough, but I guess he'll be in studio next week. Is that right, Bo? You heard from...
Technically he will be, yes.
He's not going to be...
He'll be here, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm looking forward to it, but he'll be here.
Oh.
You know, Pete and I have a love-hate.
Sounds like hate.
Well, no, we love to hate each other. No, we actually like each other a lot. Yeah, he'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. It's, as you know, and as everyone listens, we have a lot of fun on Monday nights, and it usually gets lively. Hopefully it'll be more lively this year around us being good and not being
I wonder what
bad.
That's like. What is that like?
I don't know. We haven't had that for a while.
No. They've had it here every year in New England, so that's the way it works. Jeff Lagerman.
Do you think they're worried about the Pro Football Focus grades on Monday night here in New England?
I don't think so.
I don't think they pay a whole lot of attention to that here.
I wish we didn't either, Jeff. I try not to pay attention to that, but JP and Pete make me do it.
You know why we do it? So we can just do that. Just poke the bear. That's all we want to do to him.
Don't hurt your hand.
That's all we want to do to him each and every Monday night. By the way, I'm glad you specified
that was Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
His brother's on the Patriots team now.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, he's like they don't have a fullback.
Is that 46? Is he 46?
No, that's Devlin, I think, is the big guy.
Yeah, I really don't care.
He's a veteran guy. He's been a very good football player for the
Patriots
for a while.
I just like watching Rob Gronkowski because he's really
good. Gronk's brother is on the team, and he's
– What number is he?
I think it's 45.
Yeah, that's enough talk about that.
And he's like – because, you know, they don't have a fullback, so they've got two starting running back positions, and not a fullback and a running back. It's a running back and a running back. And he's like fourth on one of those lists, which – probably doesn't give him a great chance of making this football team. Hmm. But anyway, Gronk, who we all know, Rob.
Yes, we do.
He looks healthy. Watched him today a couple times. You know, he's one of those guys that in the games, he's not afraid to get his clothes dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But in this practice today, he's kind of, you know, you can kind of tell he's not quite letting it hang out. You know, for a guy that's been injured quite a bit, he's coming back from an injury. You know, the back issue that kept him out. You can tell he's being a little bit cautious, which I understand that.
Let's go to Facebook Live and get a question from social media. You can go to the Jaguars Facebook page and submit your questions. We'll get to those throughout
the
night.
Or you can do the Twitter question of the day, too, if you want.
Well, we'll get to that towards the end of tonight. You can actually pick one from your own feed a little later, Tony.
Well, I thought we were doing Jaguars.
It would be the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night.
Jaguars. Are we doing that, Tony?
We
Baselli?
Can do that too. Okay. Whatever.
Either one, at Jaguars or at
just,
Tony.
We're making up the rules as we go along.
We need to sell that.
This is from Randy. We do. This is from Randy Watkins. Is the Jags O line better at pass protection or run blocking at this point, or is it too early to really tell?
Too early
games?
To tell. Yeah, we need to see some preseason, some more data. I mean, the funny thing is, we've only had like six padded practices.
Yeah, let me say this, though. When Leonard Fournette is on the field,
oh, they're better at
run blocking.
Yeah, well, he helps. Yeah.
Okay. When
I was a better run blocker when Fred was running the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but you can tell, I mean, good running backs make offensive linemen better. I mean, you think about some of the great running backs. You know, Emmitt Smith had a great offensive line in front of him.
Yeah, but you know, it's a symbiotic.
Sanders,
it's a symbiotic relationship. Great backs make offensive linemen look better, and great offensive linemen help backs become great.
Very true.
So it's a symbiotic.
Very true. That's, you know, that's an offensive lineman's, you know, position. You know, make their positions look more important in their
or
mind.
Or the most important it. Position.
Huh? It's going to be one of those.
It's true.
We're second most hours.
I mean, outside of if you have Tom Brady, fine. You don't need an offensive line as much, but no Tom Brady, you better have an offensive line.
You better have a good one.
We'll come back, second hour, Jaguars Monday around the corner, Facebook Live. Get your questions in lieu of phone calls tonight, at Tony Baselli on Twitter. He will look for the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night a little bit later this evening. And PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. The second hour of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I think he showed up, you know, some things, good things today, especially early on in 7-on-7s. I think the one thing that, like I told Marquise, I say, hey, listen, you know, he made two plays in a row, and he's got to come back out there, and he's got to run that third play the same way, the fourth play, the fifth play, you know, so this way we can, you know, if he does get going in a game and we want to, you know, go to him, then, you know, he can continue that because he does have a lot of skill, and we just got to get it to where it's on the field, you know, more than, but it's training camp, so, you know, he understands that he has to build up to that.
That's Doug Marrone today after practice discussing the play of Marquise Lee during this training camp. Jaguars Monday, the season premiere tonight. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman. We're at a Courtyard Marriott in Norwood, Massachusetts for tonight's show, and we're also streaming on Facebook Live this evening and on the Jaguars website, jaguars.com. Your questions tonight over Facebook Live and at Tony Baselli. We'll have the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night coming up a little later. We've been taking Facebook Live questions.
Is that a little self-promotion?
I guess so.
It depends. If PK will, you know, sell it, it'd be definitely self-promotion.
Director
self-promotion
of broadcasting.
In your pocket.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, PK and I are going to split it.
I hear you.
Where's my cut?
Yeah, you're not really doing
about
much.
Joe over here? What am I not doing much?
Joe gets a piece.
What do I do? Sit here and wear it?
Well, you're easily replaced.
We got to kick him a little bit. We got to kick him a little bit today just because JP bought
me
lunch.
It's the first
today.
Show, man. No, I'm not giving you knuckles for that.
Joe gave it up.
I don't care. No. You're going to be both ways here. Unbelievable. The talk of Marquise Lee gets us going into wide receivers. You know, Lee's his fourth year. A-Rob, you know, looks like he wants to get paid early in camp. He's flashed.
No, he looks like he's looked all along.
And yeah,
I don't want people to think that he's stepped it up
now,
all of a sudden because it's a contract year, because that's not how
I will say
A-Rob is.
Let me rephrase it then. It doesn't hurt that he's
it
playing
looks
like
he
that.
Needs to get paid.
There you go.
I think that's the way
that's
to put
the
it.
Better way to phrase it.
Because
that.
He's clearly very physical. He can be dominant on the practice field today. Marquise Lee, I thought, really stood out. And, you know, look, I don't know, we haven't talked about this yet because there has not been a radio show, but there, you know, I don't know if you guys talked about the depth chart.
Right.
Now, last year, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns were the starters. Marquise Lee was considered a third.
Who do you think is the best receiver on this team right now?
I think it's hard to determine whether it's Marquise Lee or Allen Robinson because, you know, they both have two different skill sets.
So my point is we went back to the question. So the question was, would you pay A-Rob right now?
I'd pay A-Rob and Marquise Lee, and I you know what? Here's the thing.
Mm. I'm not sure I would, Jeff.
Let me bring this up. First of all, Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee are listed as the starters on the depth chart. That's different than the way it's been around with the Jaguars for the last 2 years. Even though it's not that big of a deal, it's preseason game one, but it means something. I mean, because Marquise Lee has been available, he's been practicing, he's getting better, he's electric, he's fun to watch, and he clearly is a guy that opponents are going to have to think about doubling him because he's that good of a player. And Allen Robinson is just so physical. So I think you got two different type of players. Marquise Lee, shifty, can run away from guys. Allen Robinson can use his body and win contested balls. And then Allen Hurns, to bring him up. Today he goes up for a ball, and he comes down. He lands on his back, and that's the end of the practice for him. Doctors, trainers were tending to him. I don't know what the medical thing is going on.
And we won't know.
But I will tell you, to speculate, you know, Allen Hurns has a history of concussions. My first thought was, I hope it's not a concussion. When a player gets hurt, there's kind of you have different kinds of doctors. You have doctors that, you know, look at joints and elbows, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then you have another doctor who looks for concussions and general health and medical condition. And I thought it was the general medical doctor, which could put it into that category. Maybe it is a concussion, but I don't know that.
Yeah.
But that's a concern. But
did you say, but I just want to make sure, maybe I misheard. Were you saying you would pay Allen Robinson right now?
Let me put it this way. I would not want Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee to go anywhere after this year. Whether you pay him now or whether you pay him before he can get the free agency or whatever.
Well, let me ask you this.
What are you paying?
Hold on. Yeah,
top dollar?
No, because here's my question. And I like both of them.
Well, you don't want to pay anybody top dollar. You want to make
forget about top dollar
for the team.
Jeff, let me ask you this question. How many good years has Allen Robinson had? He's been a pro for three.
One really good one, right?
The second
Pro Bowl year.
Fabulous.
I think that Allen Robinson had, first of all, 2 years ago, phenomenal.
That's why I agree. That's what I just said.
His rookie year was okay. Last year, didn't do much. But a lot of that falls on the quarterback.
Okay, I'm not blaming Cassidy, but I'm saying he's had one phenomenal
one good year.
How many good years has Marquise Lee had?
One good year.
And really, back half of him, I mean, he was really good last year at the back half.
Yeah, one good year.
So, I guess are you convinced that either one of them is a bona fide number one receiver?
I don't think I'm convinced that they're a bona fide number one yet, but I think that
I think they both can be, by the way.
But these are two frontline guys.
Oh, I love them both. My point is saying I'm not pay them. I want guys to get paid. I like both these guys. I think they're both really good players. I think last year, I'm with you on Allen Robbins. I thought he got frustrated by the quarterback situation. I think it affected his play. I think it was a great opportunity for him to learn from it and grow from it. If you're sitting as the Jaguars, though, I don't think there's any rush to pay anyone right now because you have all this cap room. Unless you know, for like Brandon Linder, you rate him as one of the best centers, top-end center in the league.
Which I think he is.
Well, I mean, he's showing at this camp. He's playing very, very well. And so you're saying, we can't let this guy go. I mean, he is a critical piece. I think you're looking at Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee saying, these are guys we really want. We like them a lot. But you know what? We got a long year. Unless we're going to get a deep discount or a good discount, do we need to sign him right now?
No, that's a great question. But
and so
and that's why I brought up.
And
the
you
point
have the franchise tag.
As long as they don't go anywhere after this year.
Yeah, I agree. If Allen Robinson plays like he did the second year, yeah, I don't want to go anywhere.
But here's the one thing I think that would concern. You know, if you allow both of these guys to complete the year and they have both fantastic years. Then what are you looking at? You got one franchise tag.
Franchise one, okay. Pay the other one.
But I mean,
Well, you're not here.
So here's but you've got some room. But also, if you wait until after the season, there's also some rules that go into where that, now it goes into next year's cap.
Right, you can do it at the end of the season.
So you would like to try to get it done when you can keep it in this year.
Listen, if you're sitting at the end of the year, and you're looking at both these guys having very productive years, you know, November, start talking to both of them and see if you can get a deal done.
But now here's the reality. You're looking for a good deal.
Yeah, you're looking for a great deal. If you can get a great deal right now, you sign them to an extension without a doubt. If they both have fabulous years, well, then maybe you're kicking yourself you didn't sign one of them at right now. But the reality is you're not going to pay two guys number one receiver money.
Now, let me ask you this.
You're going to lose one of them anyway.
Let me ask you this. Because I thought that the contract for Allen Hurns, and we both said at the time, it's good that you pay guys, you know, that are like Allen Hurns, come to work every day, true professional, dependable, reliable, available. Now that we've seen Allen Hurns since then, and we've seen the emergence of Marquise Lee, you have a young D.D. Westbrook as a receiver. You have some other young receivers that you're kind of excited about. I thought it was a little premature to sign Allen Hurns where he was because you know, he still had his rights for quite some time. And I think that the contract was fairly easy to get out from underneath of. And I'm not saying that, look, you're willing to part ways from Allen Hurns. And it has nothing to do with what happened to Allen Hurns today on the football field. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the year, if you find that you've got Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, and they're your top-tier guys, and you have a young D.D. Westbrook, you've got some other young players that you're excited about because there are a couple of young receivers on this team that are catching the attention. To make sure that you're not allocating so much money to that position, you might be willing to say goodbye to Allen Hurns.
Well, here's
is that a possibility?
Well, here's the reality, and so I always hate having these conversations because I always
it's hypothetical. I understand.
Well, not only that, I'm not even saying that because I think it's a fair conversation you're saying. From a player's perspective, I want them to all get paid. Pay them all. But here's the reality. If I take the organization successful, we all want a successful organization, and you look at some of the better organizations, how they do this, how often do you hear the Patriots signing guys early before they're really sure? No, how often?
Occasionally. Pretty much strictly business.
Occasionally. Very occasionally.
They sold or they signed early before he got
not that agency. Early. It was like almost maybe a year earlier, and it might have even been during the year.
Tom Brady?
Really? There's one.
We're doing
got
that.
Him.
But, okay.
Got him.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. How often? They're always letting guys get to the point where, you know, and test. I mean, my point of saying this, you want to keep your core guys. There's no doubt about that. But I think you have to be really smart of identifying those core guys. And when I say this, I'm not identifying. We were talking about receivers, but I'm not even talking about them. One of the dangers you have on a team that has struggled for a long time and not very good, you can pay guys that might be really good on your team, but that doesn't mean they're really good across the league. And now, please, if you're listening, I'm not talking about Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee because I think they're both extremely talented. But I think you've got to be really smart of how you allocate those dollars and how you use those dollars. And sometimes, I mean – it's a roll of the dice because you get the free agency. Things go, you know, it's hard.
Right.
But you have a franchise tag.
You make a good point.
You got to be really smart.
And they've talked about that too, you know, that, you know, when talking about extending players, you know, because Telvin Smith is in that conversation as well.
Like right now, who would you rather extend, Telvin Smith or Allen Robinson? I know it's not a choice you have to make.
Boy, that's a great question. But if you can only have
one. Are they
the
same year?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's say, which one are you extending right now?
That's a tough question. I don't
know.
Answer it. I had to answer it.
You're the GM of the Jaguars. Who are you extending? You have one guy right now you can do before the season. You're doing that. Telvin Smith or Allen Robinson?
God, that's tough.
I'm going A-Rob.
Okay.
I'm going Telvin just
I'm going Telvin,
a defensive
too.
Guy.
I'm going Telvin. Nothing against A-Rob.
Because I think you have other replacements at receiver that you could get by with. But if you don't have Telvin Smith – who would step up in his spot?
And I just watched the film last year, and what I've seen is a player who's progressed year
every
over year,
year
over year over year.
Available, productive.
Can do things that very
energy,
few people can do.
Super fast. I mean, yeah.
And this is and this is always hard conversation for players because it makes you feel like you're devaluing one guy and the other.
Oh.
And we're not. We like both of them, but you have to make these choices.
I think they both have a value, but if you were to look at what's behind them, it has nothing to do with those guys. It has more to do with what's behind them and me making that decision.
Can I deal with losing this guy?
Yeah. Right. Well, what would you do if you didn't have him? Yeah. Well, okay, well, I've got this guy, and this guy behind A-Rob, and if I lose Telvin, I have...
Can't line up, basically, right.
This guy. Yeah.
Well, you can line up.
You know what I mean.
Just not as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a great question. You know, look, when you get good, you start to have those problems. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, but we're not there yet.
No, I know. But that's the kind of issue you want to have.
Around here first?
Well, that's what
we're talking about all this.
Well, no, that's where you you're getting to this position where some of these guys that Dave has drafted. So the first draft class, this wasn't an issue because not one of them made it.
Washout.
True.
It was a complete washout.
Yes.
So the next draft, you have Bortles, A-Rob, Marquise, Telvin. Those are the main guys.
Linder.
Linder's already signed up, so take him off. Well, Bortles might make the decision for you that it's not an issue.
We'll see on that.
We'll know about that. So we're waiting to see. He's signed for the fifth year, so you don't have to make that decision right now. Well, now you're getting to the point. You're looking at guys like A-Rob, and you're looking at a guy like Marquise and Telvin. You know, how are they going to be a part of the building block process, you know, of that foundation we're trying to build? But that's how you win. And one of the things that is so, I think, troublesome, that is part of the reason we've gotten to where we are of not being successful over a period of time, is if you look at those, how often was this even an issue over the last decade of worrying about guys you drafted, of making sure you keep them?
Well, it wasn't an issue.
It hasn't been an issue.
Which means you haven't drafted good enough.
You haven't drafted good enough. These are issues you want to have. We missed on the first draft with Dave, and we missed for a bunch of drafts before that with, you know, Gene and Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the first draft, year five of Dave. That means it's year four of these guys. You got one we've already signed, a very good player, great draft by Dave and his team. Quarterback we don't know about, but you have these three guys. But that's how you become good. You're having those conversations of, do we extend? What do we do? We got free agency. I mean, there hasn't even been a reason to use a franchise tag around here.
No. No, and I think, you know, that if you're taking the right approach, you know, get to the season and get to that point to where you can extend guys, still apply it to
that's
the 2017 cap. You know, but I think Tony's dead on. You know, let's see what they do, you know, and then go from there as far as when it comes to contracts. Worry about the winning part of it first.
Yeah, you got to have some W's before it really matters, right? They know all about that here in New England.
We've
discussed that.
I heard today, and speaking of winning, I heard more of "I love you, Tom."
Oh, I thought they were saying Tony.
No, it wasn't Tony.
Oh,
did you guys not hear that?
It's all your visits with Westwood One. I mean, that's why they
the
love you.
The entire practice.
They recognize you on the sideline.
I needed some here. Are you sure they said Tom? I thought they said
Tom.
No,
it was Tom.
Dang it.
It was Tom.
I was feeling good about myself.
I didn't see any 71 jerseys in the stands.
Didn't you see a couple?
A bunch of 71s in the stands.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
It's crazy.
Really?
I'm big up here. Big in Norwood. Big deal, Norwood.
That's right. What do you got, Logs? What's up?
I thought you were going to send it to a break.
I was about to, but go ahead.
And when we come back.
Here's a tease.
I know that you guys talked about Ngakoue a little bit. But I'm going to add something to that when we come back.
And also coming up, John Osier, senior writer, Jaguars.com, will sit in with us here in a little while. Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. More of your social questions on Facebook Live at Tony Vaselli, at JP Shatter.
No. It's at Tony Vaselli or at Jaguars. That's where the Twitter question of the day goes.
We'll figure that out as we... This is the first show of the year for Jaguars Monday. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Calm, cool, different defense, things of that nature. I think you got to see where we are from a standpoint of being able to get open, you know, press man, things of that nature, and then just ball location. But I thought for the most part, he seemed to have control. He got stepped on at the goal line, which is, you can't happen. That's not his fault, obviously. You got to be able to come off the ball better.
Doug Marone today after practice discussing the play of Blake Bortles, day one in Foxborough. Jaguars Monday continues from a Courtyard Marriott in Norwood, Massachusetts. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. We'll have John Osier coming up shortly. Your questions on Facebook Live, another half hour or so, a little, well, 40 minutes or so here on Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com, the Facebook page, and 1010 XL Radio. We're all over the place tonight.
We're busy. Multimedia
yeah.
platform.
We we'll get to Bortles coming up. Yeah,
we can talk about Bortles first. You know, okay. I thought it was an okay day. I don't think it was bad. I don't think it was great. I thought it was just a good, solid day by him. You know, and to talk about the goal line, because I know you and Frank talked about that a little bit,
yeah.
And Tony. You know, the one thing I think that's kind of confusing about the goal line, and it's hard to do from a goal line standpoint, is from a defensive perspective, is it live or is it not live? And so it's kind of, I mean, the only way to truly evaluate goal line and to do goal line, in my opinion, is to do it live. It's like special teams. If you're going to really evaluate, do it live.
We got to take guys to the ground. You got to go. Everything.
I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, but don't you think it was live today?
I don't think it was live.
It was live.
No.
Guys on the ground.
No, I disagree.
It was not live. It was not live.
Well, what was that then?
Because there was parts of it to where guys are just getting thudded up. When I say thudded up, where defenders are squaring up on them.
Every running back got tackled.
No, not all the time. There was a couple times in the open field they
did. Did you watch something that I missed?
The one the Jags were 0-for-4, it was live.
Yeah, that's why they didn't get in. They got tackled.
And the Patriots were.
Yeah, but
their two scored.
It didn't appear to me that it was like. Live.
You must
watch. Probably because Tom Brady was firing in the end zone.
If it was truly live and the coaches went in the huddle and said this is live, that was not good.
I'm confused.
Maybe that's what it was, Tony.
I'm confused.
Maybe they didn't know it was live.
But you know, a lot of
times they didn't perform well on the goal line on the offensive line.
No, it was live.
Oh,
but I thought Bortles had it. He had the one interception. Malcolm Butler ended up undercutting a route. It wasn't a very accurate throw. It wasn't a very good decision. Kind of watched the receiver coming across, and Butler just, you know, was just kind of waiting for it. But he had some good throws today. There was one throw that he had to fullback Bohannon on a little wheel route going to the end zone, and the ball was right on the money. And if it was, you know, maybe not a fullback, it would have been, you know, a touchdown, very accurate throw. So, I mean, he did some good things. He was on point with Marquise. I thought he missed a couple guys and some 7-on stuff. But, you know, I mean, that's typical. But, you know, it's hard to evaluate.
Wait, it's
hard to evaluate.
Wait, Jeff, stop for a second. You said something that drives me crazy.
When you miss guys on 7-on
yes,
seven,
it's not typical.
When you're Tom
There's
Brady.
There's no rush.
When you're Tom Brady and when you're Peyton Manning.
No.
It doesn't happen.
So,
When I say miss guys, is not finding the guy that where the ball should have went. You know what I mean? I'm not saying miss guys as far as the accuracy of the throw. The decision making process, I thought a couple times could have been better. But Ngakoue, let me get to him.
Let's move on, shall we? How convenient.
I want to get to him because you know what? You know, today in practice,
you dig yourself out of the hole you just jumped in.
Well, I'm not in a hole.
Listen, he's never admitted he's been in a hole, even when he's in a hole.
I've been in a hole before. That wasn't one of them. Trust me, I've been in plenty of holes. The Ngakoue thing, he's working his rear end off, and we talked about that.
He's been doing that all camp.
Yeah.
And impressive.
We talked about him last week on Thursday night, and We weren't the only ones that recognized that today out there on the practice field. And Ngakoue was nearly could have had a couple, I mean, probably 3 or 4 sacks today in practice.
He was given the tackle problems.
I want to say one thing. Nate Solder did not practice today,
okay,
who is the starting left tackle for the New England Patriots. They had a guy who was listed as a second or as a backup right tackle playing left tackle today. But in my book, if that's what you have over there, then make him look like that. And Yannick Ngakoue did exactly that. And it caught the eye of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick went over to Ngakoue at the conclusion of 2 separate drills, and it looked like, you know, and I couldn't read lips and I didn't hear it, but I got the impression that he was getting a compliment from Bill Belichick because in the drill that he was just in, he was wearing out the guy for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And so impressive today by him. Love the way he works.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him all of camp. I think he's been really good all camp.
And he, we know he can rush the passer. And the one thing that he's got to get better at is defending the run. But what I think...
The effort's better this year. Some of the technique needs to improve.
Yeah.
But the effort's way better.
But he's getting better at it, and he's working hard at it. Where,
agreed.
You know what? Last year when he came in the door as a rookie, he was like, I'm rushing the passer.
That's it.
And if it was a run drill, he wouldn't finish. He wouldn't even chase the ball. He'd get blocked and, okay, it was run play. You know, I'm a pass rusher, so it doesn't really involve me. Kind of that kind of attitude, you know, body language. And now it's he's coming off. He's trying to strike a blow, and he's trying to play with his, you know, with his body and then getting off of blocks. I mean, it's
– Do you think he could ever be a great run or even a good run defender? He's just not very big.
No, but you know what, Tony? If you
and it, because – Now, I've played against guys. What is he, probably 255, 260?
No, gosh, he's not
less
that
than
big.
That.
250.
Yeah, he's maybe probably not even. Well,
yeah, he's 250.
50-ish.
Okay.
He's not over 250.
Okay, let's say he's 250. I played against guys who were 250 but long who could play the run well because of their length and leverage. He's not long.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I worry about. I think he can be a functional run defender and a really good pass rusher because he's a natural pass rusher with his hand use and his hips. But I just wonder if he could ever become a
let me bring up two guys. Let me bring up two
he's
guys.
He's listed at 246, by the way.
Yeah, that's what they list him at. But
so, yeah, he's probably 245.
But let me bring up two guys that weren't long. Robert Mathis, Dwight Freeney.
Okay, wait. Dwight Freeney was 265.
But he wasn't long.
Yeah, but he had the lower body of a 350-pound guy.
Okay, Robert Mathis.
That's
probably dead on comparison.
That's fair.
Height,
I don't think, but I never thought he was a... I thought he was a serviceable run player, never a great run player.
But he wasn't.
He wasn't a liability.
No, absolutely.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think he can become a server.
As long as he can get to that.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
No, he can be that. But my whole point is saying that my expectation is never for Ngakoue to be this good run defender.
No, he's not going to be Calais Campbell in a 247-pound body.
He's going to be a guy who can play every down, like a Robert Mathis.
Absolutely.
And work hard and hustle and make you miss and stun you and use all the tricks of the trade against the run and trying to get the third down, because when he rushes the passer, he's not dangerous yet, but he's a good pass rusher. And I think he has the ability with his work ethic and his skill set to become a really good pass rusher.
I can tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. Dante Fowler.
What do you think of him today?
Is not taking the starting job from him.
No,
the way things are going.
That's
right
already
now.
Been decided, I think.
Well, I mean, probably so. Yeah. But you remember last year, Unique Ngakoue and Dante Fowler, they were announced as 12
co-starters.
Guys on defense.
Yeah, no,
co-starters.
I always disagree.
I get that.
I disagreed with that, too.
So did I. I thought that was terrible. You know, you got 11 starters on defense. You know? You don't play five defensive linemen.
Co-starters, Jeff Loggeman and Tony Bracken.
Yeah, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Bracken.
And
Joel Schmenge. Clyde Simmons. They announce us all.
All four of you.
Doesn't work that way.
What did you see out of Dante today? And I didn't. In fairness, I didn't get to watch a lot because he was on the far field. I watched the offense more. But what did you see? I guess my only comment about Dante: nothing stood out today.
No,
I'm not saying he did bad. Just nothing stood out.
He still works hard. He still practices hard. But you remember last year when we were going, "Oh my gosh, this guy's unbelievable." We were raving about him. Then the Buccaneers came into town to practice.
Yeah, Dotson showed up.
And then DeMar Dotson, the right tackle, who's like 6'8", just engulfed Dante Fowler. And I don't think it's so much of another team or the player that he's facing. Because, you know, when you watch Dante and he does specific drills, pass rush drill or run blocking drill, he can dominate those drills. But then when he gets into, okay, I'm going against a team, okay, and I've got to be able to react. I don't know what the play's going to be. Sometimes guys, you know, when their mind starts to think, it slows their body down. And when they're young, they typically can overcome that because the repetitions, the feel for the game, learning the position. Some guys it doesn't happen. Some guys it doesn't slow down for them. The mind still kind of slows that body down. Is he going to be one of those guys? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. Even though if it doesn't quite click, he's still such a superior, freakish athlete. He's still going to be able to give you really good quality reps. But with his abilities, his potential, if he can figure out, okay, this guy's leaning this way, it's a run, which is all, that's all the advantage in the world. Played the position. If you knew what the play was going to be or had an idea of whether it was run or pass, it changed your mindset every time. That's why these guys would try to disguise their stances all the time. And you can tell that he doesn't quite have a feel for that yet and doesn't quite have a game plan as a pass rusher yet. Because if you're not sure if it's run or pass, how can you have a game plan as a pass rusher?
That extra half second to react is the difference.
Then you start chopping your feet because you're thinking it's a run. Well, Dante Fowler's greatest gift is athleticism and speed.
Well, Jeff, why can't you just say as a defensive player, because I played against guys who did this,
just go.
Just say every play is a pass and I'll react to the run if it's not.
Well, I don't know if that's part of that scheme, but
I mean, am I wrong in saying that's how guys played the game?
Some guys did. And if their angle on that, okay, just get off, was proper, they could get away with it. Because if it's tight, you know, you don't want his angle to be up the field.
No, obviously. But first and second down, just tighten it up a little bit.
But if he just tightens it up and tightens that angle and just go off the ball.
I'll say this. I played Michael McCrary. Every play was a pass, and then he figured out.
And he just changed his angle.
Oh, he just, I mean, first, second down, he's coming downhill and full speed, rushing the passer until he thought it was run.
But Dante.
And there's a lot of guys like that. Bruce Smith. I mean, unless he was in a two-gap player in that 3-4, any other, if we are in sub personnel, even if it was first and 10 and we were in three wides, he was rushing the passer.
Oh, yeah. But he could play the run.
Oh, because that's what I'm saying.
He was aware.
I mean, he was very aware. So when you say Dante, because of his talent, can be serviceable, what does that mean? So if I'm a fan and I hear you say that, what should be my expectations of Dante
for
Fowler
this
year?
As a serviceable player.
Yeah, what's that mean?
I think right now he's a backup player. He's a backup to Yannick
Ngakoue. That's a problem.
And
for a first round pick, yes.
Well, we're talking about third overall pick in the draft.
That's a problem.
You know, which is you're not expecting a backup player. And I'm not saying that he is going to be a backup player like on most teams.
Will he be the starting nickel on the over the right tackle?
Yes. But on
how many sacks? So we gave over under last year. We said 5. If you bet the under, you won money. So what's the over under this year?
What's on the line for this?
6.
No, between you guys.
6.
I'll take the under.
Okay. Really?
From what I've seen right now, I'm hoping for the over. Yeah. Hope I'm dead wrong.
I bet if I was setting it, I would say 6.
And what would you bet? Be honest.
Right now?
Yeah.
I'd bet the under. But in my mind, I know
he has over potential.
He has way over potential.
Agreed. 100%.
Way over potential.
Kid is a freakish athlete with natural short area explosion. I mean,
dynamic athlete, and
he plays hard.
He's got pop when he hits people.
Oh, golly.
Nobody else can do.
Yep.
Nobody. Nobody.
So,
yep. But if he starts to figure this out now,
he'll be all right.
I mean, and if Dante had 12 sacks, if he started to figure things out and he had 12 sacks, we'd be surprised?
Based on what I've seen right now, yes.
Okay.
But if we saw progress.
But with the athleticism.
No. He has the ability to do that. He has natural gifting of that type of player.
2 more training camp dates are open to the public this summer. That's next week when the Buccaneers come to Everbank Field to face off against the Jaguars week 2 of the preseason. To attend, register at jaguars.com/training camp. We'll come back with senior writer John Osier, and we'll also have the Tony Baselli.
Am I done?
No, you're going to come back
for
the
round.
I'm
going to
come
back after John.
You have the last segment.
I'm
going
to go to the bar and have a beer.
Whatever you want to do.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that on radio.
I just did.
Just did. Yeah, yeah, it's already out there. It's already out.
I just got a text from the boss.
Yeah. Let's come back. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
He might come join me.
With the motions, the formation indicators, about they're going to try to see if we're in man or zone and what they expect out of that, especially with their personnel. When certain players line up here and there, what they expect with that. So it was a good day today. Like I said, we left plays out there, but we'll learn from them and come back better tomorrow.
A.J. Boye today after practice here in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and now in with us, senior writer John Osier. Good evening, John.
Good evening, J.P.
How are you?
Good evening, Tony. How's that phone working out for you?
Well, I'm trying to find my Twitter question, Baselli Twitter question of the day.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up in this segment.
Sponsored by the Ozone.
We earlier tonight. By the
you
way,
you had to pay me for that, though.
By the way, Pete Prisco will be with us next week. He did not come to Foxborough, so we'll look forward to that in studio next week. You know, I think you've said it a few times today. We talked on the field. We've heard you afterward on the podcast today on Jaguars.com, Senior Moments. You can say all you want about today and everything that happened and the mystique and all the stuff and the fans and what the Jaguars did, but number 12 in red was pretty good today.
Well, yeah, I mean, he showed for a brief period, 10 or 15 minutes, why he's the best and why the Patriots' offense depends on him. I thought it was sort of an even, listless practice for a while, and then he hit five or six passes where you went, whoa. And yep. Then they scored a few touchdowns, and there was a feeling of a dominant practice for New England. I mean, he's the best. He's got five rings, and that's the Jaguars aren't as good as the Patriots for a reason, and he's the reason.
So that goes – we're going to have two Twitter questions today.
Oh, two.
The first one is from at JAAKRD. I don't know how to say that. And I believe it's a lady. Kim asks – change 12 for 5, John. How many wins do the Jags have?
Ooh.
You know,
ooh.
That's so hard because...
Well, that's the Twitter of the question today. You have to answer
it. That's a great question.
And I'm going to say that, Tony, you know, can you change 12 for the 15 years of institutional knowledge within the offense? Everybody change that?
Yeah, because we saw it happen in Denver. Peyton Manning brought his offense with and says, this is what we're going to run, boys. And they went from a team who barely got into the playoffs
right.
by the skin of their teeth to playing for
Yeah, I think adding Tom Brady. I mean, yeah.
So
I think it's wrong to say the difference between Tom Brady and Blake Bortles.
I'm asking
seven
the question.
Eight wins. Sure.
Eight wins.
I mean.
So this team wins 11 games. So they won three last year.
Do you think that's out of the realm of possibility?
No. But this is my question to you.
I mean,
I don't have to
if he
it.
Can bring the sort of. precision.
You think he's going to forget how to do it if he moves to Florida, like retiring or something? It's like
some people
will live in the villages.
I think he could make that big of a difference. I think Aaron Rodgers could too. I think Peyton in his prime, you know, those guys can make that sort of a difference.
Who brings more wins to a club, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Or better, who would you take, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Right? I mean, 1 year. Even one game, who are you taking?
About 11:45 this morning, I'd have taken Tom Brady. Rodgers as up close. I would take Rodgers because of the time he is in his career.
No,
you said for 1 year
one
right
year.
Now. I take Rodgers.
Not me.
You still take Brady.
Take Tom Brady. And I love Aaron Rodgers. But guys.
I'm not saying it's a blowout.
The proof is in the pudding.
After what I
the guy's
seen,
been to
yes.
seven.
Yeah.
Is it seven Super Bowls now
yes.
or six?
Lost two seven. To Coughlin.
He's won five, lost two.
5-2, yeah.
Yep.
What else do you need to know?
I'm not saying I wouldn't put the guy in the hall. I'm saying I would take Aaron Rodgers.
So you're saying you take Aaron Rodgers. Explain that to me.
I think I like Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
So you think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
Right now, yeah.
Like last year.
Yes, sure.
So the guy who won the Super Bowl and brought his team back from 28-3. At 39 years old, you're going to choose the guy who.
I'm saying it's a sliver. I'm not saying it's a blowout.
Yeah. We thought Logs was in a hole earlier. Now that John Oger is digging deep right now.
So I just want to make sure, and that's fine. It's a subjective question. But you're saying in the spectrum of history, Aaron Rodgers is going to go down as a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
I didn't say that. I said right now I would take Aaron Rodgers.
Well, when would you have taken Tom Brady then? Because he won the Super Bowl last year.
For the right. first, second, third, or fourth
Super which
Bowl.
One? He has five on his hand. And
I'm aware
you just
five.
Choose one. Which year would you have taken him over Aaron Rodgers? Because if you didn't take it last year when he came back from 28-3.
I'd probably taken him, you know, in 07 when he put up 50. Or was it 49?
And they lost the Super Bowl?
Well, yeah, that's Super Bowl.
Oh, okay, that year.
So the Randy Moss year?
The year they lost the Super Bowl with the most talent they've ever had, you taking them.
Pretty good team.
Yeah.
Over at Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodgers wasn't that good yet.
Oh, okay. See, I would take Tom Brady every year over every year over anyone if I'm looking at history and what he's done. Outside maybe the first 3 years where they won the Super Bowls with those great defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, though, it's a no-brainer.
All right.
Agree to disagree, apparently.
Yeah, I think I'm right.
And Vassell, you'd think you're always right.
And I love Aaron Rodgers. Right. I think he's, as far as watching a quarterback play, I did the game last year in Dallas, whoever they beat.
I'm glad you did it.
No, Green Bay, Dallas. They beat Green. They beat
be
Dallas.
A mess if you hadn't.
When he made throws,
yeah.
I've never seen before. So athletically, arm talent, what he could do with the football, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. But the whole, I mean, the five Super Bowls is hard to. Man, you're crazy.
I don't.
So we've handled the question of.
Well, we got another question.
You got another question.
I can't wait for this.
So this
so
one.
Questions.
This
plural
one I'll take with you.
Night.
All right.
What's going on tight end? The tight end position is lose the starter, Mercedes. How are the younger tight ends looking? I think that's one of the stories that's been overlooked, John.
It has.
Because, you know, you had Julius Thomas for the last couple of years where everyone had anointed him as a superstar, and he didn't provide that for us. And Mercedes has kind of just been the consistent, everyday show
he's
up, do
is.
His job. I mean, you had the guy from Oakland.
Michael Rivera.
Rivera.
He's been out
who's
for
been out
seven or eight
injured.
Days.
You
now.
Have Koyak. Young guy up and coming. I thought he finished the year nicely.
Yep.
You have
Sterling.
Sterling,
who seems to have
Neil Sterling's kind of that move tight end. I think he's kind of is he taking that? Is that his job, John? You think?
I think he's.
Is he solidified? That's.
Ooh, I don't know if he has or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the preseason.
I think
it's still to play out. And it's got to happen.
After Mercedes, weak position right now, especially with the injury to Riviera?
I get a lot of questions about it. They
Riviera,
must
sorry. Sorry.
Think.
Sorry. I got corrected from the peanut gallery.
Who, Riviera, you say?
Yeah.
You're on vacation?
Yeah. Riviera, sorry. I was hoping to go golfing.
I think on paper.
That's a country club.
It looks like a weak position compared to the rest. But I also don't know that they're planning to use it as much of a pass receiving position as they were planning to last year. So I don't know that they're as concerned about it as the fans are. I think if you're thinking you're going to get 1,000
yards. Can he go, we don't know the exact injuries because it's training camp and no one tells us
undisclosed.
Anything.
Big word right. for me this offseason.
Yeah,
undisclosed.
Undisclosed. Yeah. I think he's an important factor. I mean, I think
yeah.
they need him back.
Well,
he's a productive
they need him
that,
to be what they thought he was going to be.
Yeah, I do too.
Which is a 45-catch type
yes,
guy, 600 yards. At least makes you respect the position, which right now, that, I'm not saying you don't respect Ben Koyak, but.
Basically, you just said that they don't respect Ben Koyak.
Well, and
that's what you said. Much like you said,
like
Aaron
said,
Rodgers is better
Tom
than
Tom
Brady.
Stinks and Aaron
yeah.
Rodgers is great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think how he comes back and him being what they thought he was going to be is important to that spot. Because
so, those are the Twitter questions of the Day JP, and if you're a company out there listening, you can put your brand on that right there
yes,
if you'd
you
like
can.
To, with a little jingle that I will sing if you need me to.
Is the money going to you or the Jack?
I mean, well, we're negotiating.
Yeah,
right
it,
now.
It usually doesn't not go to you.
PK's working on my behalf.
One more question from Facebook Live tonight, not to trump the questions of the night.
I think it's an award-winning segment.
This is from Dustin Chancellor. Which of the linebackers do you think will make the most tackles this season? Change at linebacker,
Talvin Smith.
Jack?
It's easy.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's easy. I mean, the middle linebacker okay. in this scheme.
Talvin Smith makes the most. You want to bet? Want to put dinner on it? Put your money where your mouth is.
Big
I'll
bet
Aaron
Brady
Rogers
doesn't
fan.
Win this one. How about that?
Big Aaron Rodgers fan. Why don't you put your money where your mouth is?
Big Aaron Rodgers. I would say Miles Jack.
All right, we'll bet dinner. Loser buys.
All right.
Noted. And it's all over Facebook Live.
I'm still waiting on a bet from you, by the way, from last season.
What?
I forget what it was.
What
it was something about the Jags running off six in a row at some point
Ooh,
in the second
we
half.
We were close.
Season.
We were close.
Yeah, I'll break news here, JP. I bet against.
Well, because you're not a team player.
Well, yeah, you're right.
I am.
Right. What do you got tomorrow, Osh?
I knew six was high.
we only won three. That's
Tom Coughlin and
news.
Blake Bortles will be talking. And anytime they talk, it's news.
Yes, it is.
So I'll be writing that.
We'll
I'll be trying to avoid Baselli at some point.
Well, I saw you following me around out there today.
Yeah, that's what you saw.
Well done, John.
All right, JP.
John Osher, Jaguars.com senior writer. Jeff Logman back with us shortly. Coming up at Daly's Place, future Wednesday, August 16th.
Oh, yeah,
Osher will be
JP.
There.
I'm going to be there.
Osher, you going to that?
What is that?
The future. August 16th.
It's the future. It's like down the road.
I bet you'll be at Matchbox 20 Counting Crows.
I will not be at Matchbox 20.
Oh, I like them too. I like Baldo so far.
They're all
I don't really know what future is I'm going.
A full schedule and tickets available at dailysplace.com. You did?
I did.
It's already passed. Maybe next year. We're back to look around the league and read other people's headlines. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday, final moments from a Courtyard Marriott in Norwood, Massachusetts. We start off training camp in New England. J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman back with us. Let's go around the National Football League, and we start off with quarterback news in Miami. Jay Cutler is coming out of retirement. 1 year, up to $13 million reportedly, a $5 million base, $5 million in bonuses, and then $3 million in incentives. He said today at his press conference, "I'm a quarterback. I don't have to be in that great cardiovascular shape."
I don't think he's ever been in great cardiovascular shape.
No.
The guy's a hose for a right arm. It's one of the great arms that's ever been in this league.
Ever?
Oh, yeah.
He's got arm talent
for three people.
Freakish arm.
Jay Cutler might have a better arm than Jeff George had.
Really?
He just hasn't. It's between the ears with him.
Special arm.
It's just decision making and then lack of, you know, I mean, I've never been on his team, but you hear people talk, you know, lack of leadership at times and decision making combined. But now he's paired back up with Adam Gase, and he had one of his best years of his career under Adam Gase as an offensive coordinator.
Like a 92 rating under Adam Gase. But here's the thing. I'll bet you that Jay Cutler never did what we saw Tom Brady do today.
No.
He might have thrown it 80 yards in the air.
Stay after practice, get a little extra work in.
He never will.
No. And we're talking about two different categories of quarterback. And me and Tony were talking, trying to figure out, you know, what would it take to get Cutler out of retirement. We were thinking, what, 5?
13. I'm out.
Well, it's like base is 5.
Base is 5.
Yeah, and so the rest of it is incentives so that they can
he'll
apply
probably
the next year. He's probably going to make a lot of them.
But it goes
back to what we talked about when I said about Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have a partially torn ACL.
You get it fixed.
You get it fixed.
Should have got it fixed last year.
Yes. And to think that you can play with it was absurd. I mean, that's not a, you know.
Bad choice. Bad management of an injury.
I mean, I've had enough knee injuries to know that the ACL is not something that you mess with.
Because no blood flow goes to the ACL.
No.
It doesn't. Like the MCL
PCL,
is a lot of blow.
MCL, get them torn. Yeah. No biggie.
Because a lot of blood goes there, so it naturally heals itself. The ACL is in a position, for whatever reason, it doesn't create blood flow to heal the ligament itself. So once it's torn.
It's torn.
Done.
That's it.
It's over. See
there, there was one guy that I
Thanks
knew.
Thanks for coming, JP.
There's only one guy that I knew that played the majority of his career without an ACL, and that was, or with a torn ACL, and it was Irv Eatman, who was an offensive tackle.
Yeah, but he was so big and strong, he didn't have to move.
Oh, he was, you know, he was a big man. But I don't know of anybody else that ever did that. I mean,
he had so many extra muscles everywhere that he kind of stabilized the rest of his body.
Yeah, and for the
he was a.
He was a big man.
By the way,
Irv Eatman, just to give you a little story, Irv Eatman didn't lift weights.
He got too big.
Really?
Yeah, he used to get popped for steroids every year on the drug test.
Right.
But he wasn't taking steroids.
Well, how did he get popped?
Because he had an
just testosterone.
Crazy high level naturally of testosterone. And so,
problem you don't have, JP.
So
come from.
And I remember, you know, it was kind of a. This was, you know, years ago, and so the league, like, they were testing them, and kind of had to establish their own guidelines for this guy because he was so unique, you know, body wise. But if he lifted weights, he would get so big he couldn't move. But when he came to training camp, when we reported to training camp, he would lift his arms. You could watch him grow while he was lifting. I mean, his arms went, you know, at the beginning of training camp, and I'm just throwing numbers out here. Maybe they were size 18 when he started training camp. And then he would do, you know, curls, and he'd do some push downs during training camp practice and stuff. And in like a matter of 2 weeks, his arms went from, you know, like an 18-inch, you know, circumference to like a 21.5. I mean, it was that crazy. His arm just went whoop. You know, like, oh, my
God. Big man.
So did you ever get off the hook for the steroid bans or any of that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, because, yeah. I mean, the league understood that that he wasn't taking anything. It was just that's what he was. But he had just such a naturally high level of testosterone. But anyway, to go back to the ACL thing, I mean, for the Dolphins to not –
That was a long story to make a point about the
But it was a pretty cool story, though.
Yeah, I've heard it a bunch, but can't hurt to hear it again.
No, absolutely not. Ryan Tannehill, though, should have had the ACL fixed, and he made a mistake.
I agree 100%.
Right. Speaking of quarterbacks, the battle is on in Denver. Trevor Siemian starts this week against the Bears. Paxton Lynch starts week two against the 49ers.
You know what they say if you have two quarterbacks, JP?
You don't have one.
You don't have any. I think Siemian, I haven't seen Paxton Lynch this year, but last year, Siemian was clearly the better quarterback. And Lynch had a lot of issues.
Yeah, he
didn't really impress me.
Well, we heard so much about him coming out that, you know, big cannon arm. I didn't see it. You know, when we watched some of the stuff in the
preseason.
Now, fairness
to him, he was a rookie, so maybe the mental part overwhelmed him, which it does a lot of rookies, and it takes more time to learn. And if you're not confident, that does affect your mechanics and how you throw the ball and everything else. So maybe he's learned the offense a little bit better, and he's slinging it.
I want to see some game stuff with those two guys.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and then we'll see. All right, so here's a question I've been wanting to ask Tony, because, you know, before practice started today, Tony was kind of drooling over Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He had to have
drooling,
a napkin, had to wipe corner of his mouth and everything. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, it's not drooling, JP. What were you?
You were. So ask the question.
What were you making?
What are you?
So my question is, what did you think?
I think Jimmy Garoppolo was a good quarterback. I watched him last year. Well, because getting ready for the game that Jacoby Brissett played in on Thursday night against the Texans, obviously Garoppolo played the first two, so you're watching a lot of tape. He makes all the throws. You know, he's not as big, obviously, as Tom Brady. He's a little bit smaller guy. But from what I saw in the two and a half games he played, I was very impressed, and nothing changed my mind of watching him on the field today.
Former Patriot has announced his retirement. Vince Wilfork announced it in a barbecue ad today, of all things.
As it should
Kingsford barbecue or Kingsford or charcoal.
Charcoal, yeah. Right,
yeah. Yeah, and he was wearing overalls, shirtless, and it looks like Vince has put on a few pounds eating barbecue since he decided to
How much do you think he
retirement.
Actually weighs right
oh.
now?
I got another thing to kind of veer off of that topic, but Vince Wilfork was always
listed.
Well,
I'm asking questions.
Yeah,
it's gonna get
was like three. Well, like they listed him at 325.
335. They were listed.
Okay,
at.
And he
which he was 365.
Yeah, he was 370, 75.
Yeah,
ballpark. And
that's
now,
my guess. We don't know.
Now he looks like he's a little bit bigger than that.
Over four, you think?
He might be pushing it. Yeah, he might be pushing it.
That's dangerous.
Got to watch yourself here, right?
The one I was wondering about, you know, because during the game boards, you know, for the broadcast, and number 90, who the Jaguars signed from the Detroit Lions, name real quick, help me out here.
Stephon Charles.
Yeah. Okay. He's listed at like 305.
No, lie. Liars.
What's he?
That's a lie.
He really is.
Is that like his half body weight?
I was doing that yesterday, and I said 305.
There's no way.
Is that one leg?
No. They cut a leg off and forgot that portion of it.
I was trying to figure out what's the purpose of putting him at listing him at 305 because he's. What do you think he weighs? 50.
350?
I don't think he's tall enough to be 350. I'd say 335, 340.
Yeah, I was thinking 40, 45, but they got them listed at 305. It's like the opposite of what you used to do in high school in Little
League. It's like saying JP weighs 200.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
which
been a
is
long time.
Totally not believable.
200, I got news
yeah,
for
totally
you.
Not believable.
250 is not believable, but especially 200.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm below 250.
Mm-hmm.
I'll weigh in tomorrow.
Okay.
I will. If we're allowed in the.
You had a lot of French fries today there.
Yeah,
JP.
You were.
I did,
yeah.
Actually, on the way back from practice.
Yeah.
Final thought, Roger Goodell said there's no decision whether to suspend Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys today at a Giants fan forum, but it you know, there's some smoke there that something could be coming down.
Well, he can't say anything. What is he supposed to say at the forum? Yeah, we've decided to suspend him. We just haven't told him yet.
Yeah, from
but we'll tell
rival,
you guys.
From your rival team, yes.
You know, I don't know if you guys saw it, but during the Hall of Fame game, Jerry Jones was in the booth and was talking to the guys, and they were asking him, obviously, about Ezekiel Elliott. And Jerry Jones was pretty adamant, saying that, you know, there's nothing there with domestic violence. There's some other issues that the league is looking into. And I'm like, okay, what are those issues? I just wish that they would make a decision, you know. I mean, it's dragged on for over a year now. I mean, it's long enough. Just give it up.
Guys, well done.
Thank you.
Another day of practice tomorrow in Foxborough against the
Looking
Super Bowl
forward
champs.
To that. It'll be fun.
We'll be. We'll see.
I'm hoping it gets a little chippy tomorrow.
It might.
It won't.
Who knows? No, it won't. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselia, thanks to Frank Frangie, John Osier, our entire crew here in Foxborough and back home. For everyone, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.